Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, I need lube advice.
But funnin' around.
Julie is stiff on the Lido deck.
It started with a diarrhea problem.
Iken has house fire.
Foozers boozers.
The love morgue.
No full exposure.
Full frontal Hannah Montana.
Don't dung your D.
Added naked titty.
Spider-Man is the S word.
Come with me if you want to die.
Make me a grandpa.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
One local pharmacy has started administering Pfizer's booster dose.
If you lie in bed so long that you have to rush, how can you expect to be neat and clean?
The Morning Stream, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the morning stream for Monday, January 3rd, 2022. Look at that.
Ooh, first show of the new year.
Yeah, man. And we're in the 2220 things of the numbers of the show. Look at, we're 2224 today.
Oh, we are. Yeah. Look at that. At least for the next 76 episodes, our shows will begin with the year. How about that?
Yeah, that's how we'll remember and not screw it up.
Yes, so we won't have any problems writing it on our checks.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've already done it a couple times. I did it with some art yesterday. I was drawing something. Yeah. And I put 2021. I was like, crap. I went and fixed it. Did it once on a big tweet for a giveaway. I was like, The first giveaway of 2021, and then like 100 people pointed out that I got it wrong. So.
Listen, when I did the Coverville Countdown episodes, the first one, because I copied and pasted from last year's to make sure I got the titling and all that stuff correct, forgot to change 2020 to 2021. So in December, I still made the 2020 instead of 2021 mistake.
Oh, man, you're a whole year behind on mistakes.
Year behind. Yes.
Catch that shit up. Hey, so listen to this. I promised myself I was going to say that word less because I got this dad who wants his kids to listen to the show. I'm going to try to say the S word less, okay? Okay. Dad and
by
kids.
The S word, you mean Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Oh, I did it.
Oh, you did it. Oh, no. Someone's going to rage quit and leave the show forever now. Sorry. Inside baseball. Let's get into the goings on here. So it is our first show of the new year. Well, I guess technically. No, yeah. Because the New Year's Eve thing crossed.
It was on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. If we lived in Zimbabwe, then it would have counted. But we didn't.
Sure there was somebody that downloaded. There are probably a lot of people who downloaded that bonus Friday New Year's Eve Streamathon episode after the clock struck midnight and Miley Cyrus's top fell off.
Oh, yeah.
And basically got that as the first show of the year.
I heard of that. Was there full exposure? Did she lose?
There was not full exposure. Like, it was, the camera was panned really far back and she had her arm covering when she realized what started happening.
Yeah.
Then she turned around, just dropped the top and Helen pulled her arm away. So people playing in the band, the backup singers in the bands and all that stuff, did get a full view. But she went in the back. Everybody kept singing, like the background vocalist kept singing the Pips version of Party in the USA.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. They kind of kept the little backgroundy going. That's awesome.
They kept the whole song going, and finally she came back out and put on a blazer and said, "This is the most clothing I've ever worn on stage."
How you doing, y'all? She'd say, "Hey, y'all." She'd say,
"Hey, y'all."
Whatever. I've heard her do a bunch of solo covers that have made me convinced me that she's one of the most talented singers
she's,
right now.
She's the real deal. Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good.
I'm impressed. She came in like a wrecking ball, Scott. And, yeah,
and she's leaving like a topless lady.
Yeah, and she's dancing with Molly, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's
Molly,
fine.
Molly's just sitting there on the side with nothing to do, and now she's dancing with Molly.
Comedic actress Molly Shannon. And
by the way, my recommendal of the other two, which was the show that's got Molly Shannon as the parents of like a Justin Bieber level popular kid and then the two older siblings that can't cut a break. Yeah. That ended up on somebody's like Entertainment Weekly's top 10 TV shows of 2021.
Whoa, look at you. You're a tastemaker, dude. Look at you.
I don't know, a tastemaker. I just want more people to check that show out is all I want.
Well, it's on my list. Because of you, when I was on the treadmill this morning, guess what I watched? You want to guess? Guess what I watched?
I know it wasn't Parasite.
It wasn't Parasite because I'm not doing that on a treadmill. That'd be weird.
Let's see. On the treadmill, you watched...
I'll give you a hint and it'll narrow it.
Yeah.
Documentary. I almost said Armageddon. That makes no sense.
Armageddon. You watched Armageddon.
Yeah.
That's so weird you say that. I watched Armageddon this weekend.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Oh, well, was it? Oh, not documentary. So it wasn't Don't Look Up. That actually is what made me want to watch Armageddon, because that's like how if the worlds all got together and stopped the asteroid thing, whereas Don't Look Up is, no, this is probably what we'll really do.
It's probably what we'd do, yeah. We deny it until it hit. I'll give you another hint. Musically directed documentary.
Oh, Get Back, the Beatles thing.
Incorrect. Close.
Oh, damn it.
You're getting there.
The Sparks Brothers.
Sparks is correct. The Sparks Brothers thing.
Excellent.
I mean, I'm only halfway through because I did. That's how long my walk was, and my run was, and I'll do it later today again. But that is totally my jam. I love everything about those guys. And those, you know what they said early on? They said that they are at the crossroads of influential,
and
unknown.
Obscure.
Yeah, I was one of the. I didn't know who they were. I've never heard of them before. I really have never. And now that I see it, I'll hear a pinch of a song and go, "Wait a minute, I know that from somewhere." But for the most part, this is all new to me, and they're fascinating. Fascinating
documentary. Especially Ron Mayall. Like, Ron Mayall, the older brother, keyboard player, mustache. Let's say Charlie Chaplin mustache, just to...
Sure. Sure. We won't invoke the other usage that we're all familiar with.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I saw them perform. The only time I've ever seen Sparks live is when they came to town with Franz Ferdinand, and they formed the band FFS.
Oh, yeah.
For F's sake, or Franz Ferdinand Sparks.
Sure.
And we got there early enough to where we had front row seats. I've got some amazing photos of the band and of Franz Ferdinand, the dude from Franz Ferdinand, kind of looking directly at me. He's a cute guy.
That's
cool. I'm straight and all, but that's a handsome man right there.
Yeah, he's a good-looking dude, sure. Yeah.
But for the whole rest of the time, I could not take my eyes off of Ron Mayall. He is always mugging. He is always hamming it up.
Yeah.
And his freaking dance moves, even at whatever 70.
He's like 72 or something now. Or
72 are still absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, they're really great. And I also thought before this, when you had recommended the documentary, I know you'd said as much, but in my head, they were still... like weird British band.
Yeah, right.
They're not at all.
A lot of people, not at all.
They're California. California. Is all Get Out, right?
But for several years, for the Island Records years, when they were on the Island Records label, they lived in the UK and they were huge there. Like, they broke into the top 10 with more than just that Cool Places song when they were in the UK.
I think I'm at the part where we're about to talk about that move.
Oh, nice.
How far I am, but. Yeah, it's just fascinating. I love all these guest guys, like, you know, Beck is in there.
Weird Al Yankovic talking about the band.
Yeah. I like Beck because when Beck first came on, everyone else had said, like, so-and-so, and then below them, the Dirty Turnips, or whatever their band was, right?
Right.
So everybody had a name and then a band underneath. Beck says, Beck. And then the little subtitle says, See Above. It's amazing. See Above.
That's awesome. I didn't catch that.
It's so good. What a creative, really stupid creative idea. I loved it.
Yeah. Anyway. Good. Oh, I'm glad you're checking that out. It's funny. That was a theater recommendal. That New Mutants was the first movie that got me into post-pandemic theaters, and had basically my uncle and I had a theater to ourselves for that one, and then Sparks Brothers also was another theater trip, and I think there were maybe two other people in that theater as well. It was like,
oh yeah, I probably had that whole damn thing to yourself pretty much. It was really it's really good, and it's on Netflix, everybody. So if you didn't get a chance to catch it when it first hit, it's it popped up, and I went, you know what? I'm watching that when I fire up this here treadmill, which I need to lubricate. I need some advice.
Oh, yeah.
I need lube advice.
Yeah.
My treadmill has not been lubed since I bought it in 2013.
Needs to be.
So what
you're
do you
supposed
do?
To do it, you're supposed to do it every year. You get this stuff. It comes in a bottle.
I bought that, so I have that. I have that over there, so I'm good there. Okay. But how do I apply it? What do?
You can – some treadmills have a lever that – shrinks the size of the table that you're running on. Like basically just pulls either the back runner or the front runner closer to the middle so that it loosens the belt.
Okay.
And then you can apply you just squirt a line of it down there and it does it itself.
So it's the belt itself that I'm trying to lube, not the wheels.
You need to, right. The belt itself is what you're, what you're lubing.
All right. My favorite documentary of 2021 was The Belt Itself. It was a fantastic
The Belt
run.
Itself. Oh, so good.
Yeah. With 6 John episodes. Burnham. Amazing. And John Burnham. But yeah, like I just have always been afraid to try it because I don't know what I'm doing because I don't want to wreck anything. Like put a bunch of lube in the gears.
Don't. Oh, AV Tech John just put a great video in the chat room. How to lubricate a treadmill belt.
All right. I'm copying that out. I'm saving
looks like
it.
The bro from 24 Hour Fitness who, who says, hey, only one towel. Only one towel.
Oh, I love that guy. He's my favorite kind of guy. All right. Hey, I found some stuff, and I wanted to share a little bit of this. So I'm trying to clean out my studio, and in here are a bunch of boxes that I haven't looked at in 10 years.
I noticed this weekend you were in old photo or 2012 photo mode and opening up old boxes mode and all that stuff.
The 2012 thing came from a hard drive clean out, and I was like, 2012 N12. What is this? Like, it wasn't the pattern wasn't working in my head.
Yeah.
And it was Nerdtacular 2012, and it was full of these photos of everybody, us included. And it was just a trip looking at all that.
That's so cool.
But anyway, I found this tape. This is the one I still have to go and do some work on because it's so old. It's like really bad quality. So I captured the entire both sides of this thing. And then later I'm going to go in and see if I can't fix it up some. But it didn't break. Anyway, it's this.
Look at that.
Let
wow.
Hold this up. So, gosh dang it. Hold on. Where's my camera? There we go. So this says on it, for some reason, my dad wrote upside down.
Water damage on the label there.
Yeah, do you see that? That's awesome, right?
Yeah. Also, you were about to say that your dad writes upside down on the label.
Yeah. I have no idea what that's about. I don't get it. I want to add one.
There's other text on the label, Blaine.
I know.
You just follow the direction of that text.
Yeah, what the hell, Blaine? So it says Scott and Dad, age 1.5 to 2.5, and then the years are 1970 to 1971, which would have been all right, or about right. And on there is a bunch of me just gurgling and talking and yapping and basically sounding a lot like Van at that age.
Okay, on Twitter lied.
You can eat rice, that sort of stuff. But what I so that one's still kind of in the works or whatever. But I found some clips and I got to play some of these. Okay,
cool. Yeah.
So this will span a little bit of generations here, but Brian, tell me if this is familiar to you. Okay, I know it will because I know you, but you just have to tell me. Here you go.
Duty Mento on the Rock FM 103 KRSP Salt Lake City.
All right, so that was our local station that carried him. Yes. So he's doing a local promo.
So many cassettes of the Dr. Demento show.
I recorded it like ad nauseum, and I found all my old tapes of that stuff, and I don't need any of it. So I just capped out a few things where he says stuff just to be nostalgic about it. But Man,
Dementos and Dementites.
In junior high, I was glued to that. 10 o'clock Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go to bed, school the next day. Didn't matter. I stayed up and listened to Dr. Demento. That's how it went. Then I found me at age 12.
Who?
Talking about a diarrhea problem. With a dog, wow. Not with a
this
person.
So unlike you.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
I mean, if there's anything else that tracks.
My radio career began with a diarrhea story.
It's 40 years and nothing's changed.
Now, my kids want to point out that for some reason I've adopted a strangely almost southern accent at age 12. I don't remember this or why I talked this way, but I'll play it and let you guys judge. All right. So here's me, age 12, 11 maybe. I may have been 11. I couldn't figure the year out on the tape, but anyway, here it is. So this is me talking to my brother, I think.
She let Muffin in during the night at 12:06, and she wasn't supposed to. Now Muffin had diarrhea in the front room.
She did?
Yeah, and then this morning, Mom put her back in, and then Tara let her out again. Oh, no wonder. Ever she told her not to.
So that's just me and the other siblings.
That's what Nick said. Nick called me Opie. I shared that around, and I don't know what that was about.
Well, I don't know. Aunt B might have put some diarrhea in one of them pies.
I wasn't a Southern kid at all. Like, I married a Southern girl, but that wouldn't be for another 20-something years. So, so it's really, really, really odd, obviously. Dog diarrhea. And this is me laughing in the same tape. I mean, puberty was not even next door. It was like 1,000 miles away.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right.
Yeah,
and then,
somewhere I've got some of those tapes too, and I wish I could find them.
Oh, you
got
to find them, dude. You got to convert them.
I know.
I'm using this. Greg for Walkman sent me this a long time ago. I'm using it to transfer just straight analog out of this old Walkman into digital.
I bought one that's a USB that I used for something, and so I still have it. I just need to find those tapes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to hear all this stuff. And I'm going to keep the tapes because, you know, they break fine, whatever, but now at least I have a backup. Yeah. Here's my daughter's. Okay, so now let's jump ahead to 1990. Hold on. I'm sorry. Let's jump ahead to 2003.
Okay.
This is my daughter singing. No, I'm sorry. Let's jump to 1997. Sorry, okay. I got my dates mixed up. Here's Taylor at that age. See, that's weird. She's a mom now and stuff, right? Isn't that weird?
Yeah. She made you a grandpa.
Yeah, she did. And then when she was like, same tape, I said, what happened to you last night? And her answer was this.
I threw up.
Yeah, she threw up. She threw
up. I love that all of our audio clips have to do with vomit and diarrhea. And people say, oh, Brian, your morning squirm questions are gross. I'm muting because of your questions.
I freaking love it. Anyway, and it does. Yes, it sounds like it's recorded on wax, but it's not. It's just these tapes are old, man. They lose. Yeah. I can't believe the one from 71 gave me anything.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I was shocked by that.
It's practically dissolved. It's because it's like a Sony or a Maxell or a TDK, man. If it's an off-brand real tech, that thing is dust.
Yeah, it's
that
dust.
Thing is Thanos level dust.
And I've got some in here I'm really concerned about. Like, some of these tapes look a little wrinkly. One of them I did put in, and it immediately started eating the tape, so it's sticky or something. Mm-hmm. Here's something from February 4th, 1989. No idea what it is, but later I'll give it a shot. So anyway,
yeah, back in those days, you and I both had dreams of being DJs, right? And so we'd record like we were either introducing songs, which is what I was doing, or telling jokes. I have somewhere there is a cassette of me and my Uncle George performing a Hostess fruit pie ad from an Incredible Hulk comic book.
Shut up, dude.
A table reading of a Hostess fruit pie. Here, Hulk, have a Hostess fruit pie.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
Cherry filling. I mean, that's like somewhere that exists.
You have one job in 2022, and it is to find that tape. Salvage it ASAP. But if you have a bunch of these old things, you need to get them converted, man. There's somebody on Twitter who's got a whole setup for this. He's got reel-to-reel, two reel-to-reel decks, plus a regular cassette conversion thing. And he's just converting, you know, use it to convert all this stuff. I've got video I need to do this with. I have so much to do with it. And I know there's like services. You can just send all your like Super 8s into some whoever and they'll make Blu-rays out of it or a hard drive full of files or whatever.
Yeah.
But I haven't really looked into it. But yeah, a real nostalgic day for me yesterday. The only pain in the butt, Brian, is you forget. All right. In the era we live in now, digital, MP3s, whatever, there's no fast forwarding or rewinding. You just skip around.
Right. There's no instant. You mean there's no like instant jump to the next track or to
right
the next bit. It's like fast forward. Yeah.
Or if you and I want to get anything done, you can't just flash record it. You can't just go, okay, this tape, just go, woot, and it's in. You got to play the whole thing and just let it run for 90 minutes.
Yes, right, and hope that you capture some gems.
Yeah. So I set an alarm every 45 minutes or whatever each side was, and then would leave it, right, and then come That's back, and then I'd scan it for some like fun bumps in the waveform and go, oh, what's that? And for some reason, I had a tape full of Betty Davis Eyes on repeat. Is that weird?
Just we're on our same song marathon coming on 3 hours of Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes.
That's all it was Kim Carnes singing that over and over and over. I don't know why I did it, but I did. I don't even know how I did it. I don't remember how I did it. Oh, and then I found all my Letterman tapes, like old late night with David Letterman. Was on NBC in the 80s, and it's just audio of him doing his show. I got a bunch of them with what's his name from the Columbus Zoo coming on, and like some of my favorite guests.
Not Jack Handy, but Hannah. Something like that, right? Hannah.
Jack Hannah. And I used to take those to school and like sneak a listen in class because I was bored. And I was just having I was reliving it yesterday, man. That's how it was going for me. Yes, Letterman was on NBC.
Letterman was NBC for the first batch. He was even, you know, had a morning show, Letterman.
Yeah, before that.
Daytime show.
Yeah, and the late night show, which is currently occupied by Seth Meyers. Was the same one that what's his beak, who's Tonight Show guy now? Can't think of his name. Billabong.
It's probably a Jimmy because they're all Jimmys.
Jimmy
nowadays.
Fallon. There you go.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. Before that, he took over for Conan O'Brien, who took over for Dave. That's the same time slot. And Dave was there for like 10 years. So now, if you're super young, I get it. You wouldn't know. But that was my formative. Sneaky stay up till midnight business. Oh man.
Yeah. I love Letterman. I'd love a lot of the people you mentioned. Probably my Letterman was Dr. Demento. Was me wanting to create a show of weird music and goofy stuff and have a syndicated thing that was on all across the country and on the Rock Q 105.
He's dead, right? He's not alive anymore.
I think he's alive. No, he's still alive. They actually came out with a great cover album 2 years ago of covers of huge songs from the Dr. Demento years. Like, let me find it here.
Oh, he's 80. Okay, he's still around.
Let me find it here. So, like, here we go. It's called Dr. Demento Covered in Punk, and it's, like, covers of Marvin, I Love You, the Marvin the Paranoid Android thing, and Fish Heads, and Monster Mash, and Mana Mana, and The Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati. Like, you hear these things, you're like, oh, my God, I haven't thought about that song, or the weird sexual one of the woman who can't wait for the guy to come over and install the telephone line.
Oh yeah, that one's weird.
It was weird,
creepy and weird. Yeah.
He
says here in his Wikipedia is he had the he had an 85,000 deep record collection.
85,000 deep. Yeah. Oh my God,
that's what he claims. Special appearances, blah, 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 blah. He's got some on Edison Cylinder and still ways to play that stuff.
Wow,
man.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we were real
that's
cool.
Probably where you would have actually, if you did hear Sparks, you probably would have heard Sparks on the Dr. Demento show. Because I think they'd occasionally play their weird cover of Do Re Mi and
actually,
Girl
that
from
might
Germany.
Be. Maybe that's what I'm hearing on that doc and going, oh, I recognize that, but only barely. That's probably it.
This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. Huge song, by the way. And Faith No More covered it. Darkness covered it.
We didn't have cool recorders either. All we had was a radio, and then you'd put a tape recorder next to the radio.
Yes.
And record from the speaker, which is so janky, but it's what we had.
Oh, That's what we had. Yeah. And ours was the kind where you had one button for play and another button for record. But to make sure you accidentally didn't record thing, you had to push the record and play buttons down together.
Yeah, like same time.
That same time.
Yep. What's really throwing me on this thing is it has an auto reverse thing. So if you get to the end of the tape, it'll flip. There's also a red button here that does that very function. Like if you're in the middle of things, you just want to flip sides. The problem with that is I never know which side is playing. So rewind and fast forward are relative to what you're doing, and so I never know what I'm actually doing. I don't know how lived with that back then. That seems like an oversight by the Sony gods at the time. It just seems like a weird thing, but whatever.
Molly Fan says, Weird Al just covered this town. I know, I just played it on Thursday's episode of TMS at the very end, but if you're a live listener, you wouldn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, you probably wouldn't have heard it. He's also in that documentary. We've come full circle. Well done, everybody.
He is playing that very song that song came from.
He played a little on the documentary as well. He's got his organ.
That's what I was just saying.
Oh, you were saying he had the organ on there? Oh, he hasn't played it yet.
The accordion.
Then,
he plays the accordion. He plays an instrumental accordion cover of This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us, and it's that cover that we played the full version of on TMS last week.
Okay. I haven't gotten that far, I guess, because right now he's just holding it. He's got it out.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm like, he's got it out. What's he going to do with it now that it's out? That sounds dirty, and Jamie's happy I said it. All right, moving on. Micah in Syracuse, New York, sent us a quick email I wanted to read. It's an email about chocolate. Good morning, Scott and Brian. I'm a big fan of your show and listen to it every morning. I often tell my wife about funny and interesting things you guys talk about, and when you brought up the subject of whether UK chocolate was better than US chocolate due to the souring agents, I was intrigued and told my wife about it. She was then surprised me for Christmas and got me a box set of UK chocolate bars called Great British Treats. That sounds like a show, a spinoff of the greatest baking thing, doesn't it?
Today on Great British Treats, Jackie spills chocolate all over the floor and has to clean it up.
Yeah, and then there's like some sort of fancy dance music, and it's all and everyone's nice to each other. I want this show. It sounds great. Anyway, he goes on to say, we have been taking one bar at night and sampling it for fun, like in your food segments, and they are indeed quite rich and delicious. Mm-hmm. Our favorite was called Star Bar, which had a peanut butter whatchamacallit vibe to it. Oddly enough, a couple of days at work, I had a small bag of Hershey's Kisses. I popped a couple, and let's just say they hit differently. Seems like there might be some truth to that souring agent business after all. Have a great day, and thank you guys for what you do, Micah in Syracuse.
Oh, yeah, look at that, the Star Bar. I think we've had those on the show, Cadbury Star Bar. Looks like a Twix, right? It's like a cookie in the middle, but more like a whatchamacallit cookie, he's saying, then a layer of caramel and then a layer of chocolate all around.
Oh, there it is. We did have this. We've had this.
Yeah.
When we got the British stuff, we'd take more if you wanted to send them.
Because there's a Star Bar in Denver, my results are a mix of this Dive Star Bar on Broadway.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and this chocolate bar, which is great.
That's hilarious. Why does Wikipedia's like click on my image to make a bigger one? Why are they often smaller? I don't understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's going on over there? Wikipedia? I gave you money this year.
Whichever Wikipedia editor posted that photo posted a smaller photo than the thumbnail.
That's well right. Done. Well done. Well done indeed. All right, we're going to get done away up in it. Today's Monday. You know what that means. Time for some prizes to give out to some people who can't listen live. And we always love doing that, so stick around for that. That starts up shortly, and also it's the squirm, so maybe Brian will have a weird topic that'll gross you all out.
I'll have five weird topics that'll make you go, ugh, really? Yeah. All right.
It's topics that make you go, ugh. All right, let's see. What am I looking for here? This. Welcome, Brian Dunaway, to the fray. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How are you doing?
Hey, it's a big day.
Oh, hello.
It's a big day. At 3:30, we're doing the first Play Retro today. Are you excited or what?
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
I totally forgot. No, I haven't forgotten. Of course, I remember. I'm so excited. It's a new week. It's a Monday. You know how much I love those. It's the first Monday of the year. I may explode.
Well, don't explode. So we need you. So don't explode. That's bad.
Well, I mean, not figuratively.
Oh, all right. Well, then
in reality, I'm going to explode. Boom.
Oh, perfect.
No, what I mean is no, not figuratively. Yes, figuratively.
Yeah. Look, it's the first Monday of the year. It's always a little rough. I understand. Hey, it's good to have you here. That'll be something we'll talk about toward the end here. We'll make sure people know everywhere to go and check it out and all that stuff. But before we do any of that, it's time for Babel Royale. The Squirm Thing Edition. I forgot the name. So we'll let Brian Ibbett take care of it and explain the whole damn thing.
Sure, yes. Welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Cliff Clavin would have offered up at the Cheers bar. I didn't come up with a replacement for that for this morning. Scott and Brian are going to take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, well, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after five questions wins the prize for their contestants. And you're asking, who are these contestants you speak of? Well, they're members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Matt Quanborough of England.
Nice.
Oh.
And Brian, you're going to be playing for Nick Milton of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. So
I like Milton's.
Yeah. They all they all have better chocolate than we do. Both.
They all
places.
Have better chocolate for sure. Like us, Matt Quanborough might be enjoying a Star Bar as he listens to this.
Yeah.
Listens to his win.
I hope he is.
By the way, the prizes today, the winner is going to get a pair of Steam games, which is great because no postage, Guts and Glory and Ring of Pain.
I'll always be Ring of Pain.
Ring of Pain. The runner-up gets Garage Bad Trip.
I'm having tantric sex for 3 days.
That's what he should say. All right, nice. Oh, wait, Guts and Glory, you said that's a good game, and so Guts is Ring of Glory. Pain. Yeah, they're both good. Both good picks. Ring of Pain
Garage
is
Trip. Is that not a good game?
No, GarageBand. I just haven't played it. I don't know what that would mean. Garage Bad Trip. Have to look it up. But Ring of Pain currently on Game Pass as well. Very cool stylized turn based strategy thing that I was blown away by. It's very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, right. I love it.
Excellent.
Yep.
All right, let's get to this. Brian, I think you won last time, so we're going to start with Scott.
Sweet. Didn't that happen last time, too? I think I started both times
because
I keep losing.
Yeah, that is my action.
Oh, I got to hide the chat. Chat,
go away.
Oh, yeah. Hide the chat.
Yeah, get out of here.
I don't know.
I thought you said hide the cat. I'm like, why do you have to hide the cat?
Ah, the cat is always looking. Hide the cat. Yeah, he cheats.
The answer is.
All right. Scott.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson almost got the lead role in this movie. Really didn't almost. I mean, it wasn't even close. But the director passed because he thought he was, quote, too pleasant. Was it Rambo, Friday the 13th, Terminator, or The Fast and the Furious?
Well, it's no way it's Fast and Furious. I think at that year, the year that came out, he was in jail for the Vegas thing.
Yeah.
It's my thing. I'm taking it back.
Give me the first three again.
Yes, Rambo, Friday the 13th, and Terminator.
Holy Let's Jesus. Go with Terminator because I want that to be true, whether it is or isn't. Let's go with Terminator.
Is the answer Terminator?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
There's, oh, I never heard that.
There was rumor that the painting of Schwarzenegger on the poster was just Schwarzenegger's face painted over O.J. Simpson's face. It never even got that far. James Cameron dismissed it. Like he said, O.J. Simpson? Yeah, nope. No, he's not right.
Did he? I assume that means he applied or he auditioned.
He was very briefly considered.
Okay.
And according to James Cameron, let's see. Let me correct that right now. No, O.J. Simpson was never in the mix at all. That was rejected out of hand before it even got any traction.
Okay, so there was some kind of like thought that he could be the dude, and then he's like, no, we're not doing
Simpson,
that.
There was a list of people that were a certain build. And he probably fit, and that was it.
Yeah, but so, he's only that would have made him only 3 years shy of killing two people. So I think they dodged a bullet. I think they did well by not having him do it. Yeah,
your clothes, give them to me now. Yeah. Okay, all right, fine. I know what you're going to do in a couple of years. Take them.
Come with me if you want to live, but only for a couple more years.
All right, Brian.
Oh, hi.
In Italy, the Disney movie Moana was renamed Oceania, so it wouldn't be confused with what?
Okay.
A, the Italian word for, I'm not going to say that word. Let's say,
same word for vagina? What was it?
Vagina.
Rear,
the back end?
Yes, we'll say the back end.
Okay.
A famous Italian porn star. C, a popular type of pasta, or D, the Italian word for bitch.
Okay. I'm going to need you to read that question over, but fill in that A with whatever you wanted to fill in. Because I got totally sidetracked.
Sure,
go ahead.
Sure. In Italy, the Disney movie Moana was renamed Oceania, so it wouldn't be confused with A, the Italian word for butt play. B, famous Italian porn star. I think I just made it worse, didn't I? Than actually saying the
I wasn't
letter
sure
word.
What it was.
Yeah. C, a popular type of pasta, or D, the Italian word for bitch.
Well, I'm sure they could care less if it was a popular pasta. I mean, that would be no confusion. Who would care? Be like, oh, how cute. Right. You're talking about pasta.
Yeah.
A porn star, I don't know if they could. I don't think that would move the needle.
I don't know. You know,
it's got to be the butt plug, wherever you were afraid to say A, right?
A, whatever related to the butt.
You can't even say the word. Therefore, it makes me think.
All right. Is it?
Is the answer the Italian word for butt funning around? It is not.
Oh, it's not?
Butt funning.
Wow. Scott gets the point. Your remaining choices are a famous Italian porn star, a popular type of pasta, or the Italian word for bitch.
Well, I'm going to go logic. I'm going to just do a weird logic jump and reverse the thinking and say it's the pasta just for, I don't know why. Okay. I feel like they'd be weird over there.
Have a little Moana fagioli or whatever.
Like Parmigiana. If it was macaroni or something, it would be annoying. You'd want to change it.
Right. And it does end with the A-N-A, which is like marinara or Parmigiana and Carbonana. Let's pretend that's with an A, with an N instead of an R.
Yeah.
It is not a popular type of pasta. Now, the first four letters of Moana are what?
Moan.
It's absolutely a porn star named Mona.
You bunch of prudes.
What? I thought they were all free over there. Yeah, I thought they were all free and putting boobs on billboards and stuff over in Italy.
What is this whole European thing that I keep hearing about? Okay, never mind. Fine.
Yeah, well, forget it.
I mean, you know, you don't want some kid to go to the
are they the same? Are they not the same country? No, that was a different country. Which is the one that has the children's show about the guy with the kid with the penis?
Oh,
which one is that one?
I forgot what country that is. It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing. Sweden, Norway,
something like that.
The Swedes would do
something like that.
Iceland,
yeah. It's freaking weird. Don't look it up, everybody. It's really weird.
Yeah, don't look it up. All right, back to Brian.
You can look it up.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Back to Scott.
You can look it up.
You can look it up.
Yeah,
Denmark.
But
people are saying Denmark.
Denmark? Well, if you do, you Denmark. Might do this. All right, keep going.
Nice. Scott, long before condoms were invented, people didn't use an old fish, but they did use other forms of protection. Which of these wasn't once a form of contraception?
Was not. Okay.
Was not. One of these is not. A, is it animal intestines?
We've tried a lot of things. We've
tried everything. Was it A, animal intestines, B, acacia fruit, C, beeswax, or D, crocodile dung?
Was not.
One of those was
crocodile dung
used.
D. Ooh, yeah, dung don't D. Put it on your D.
Dung did it. Give me the first one again.
Sure. Animal intestines.
Okay. That one I know is real. They've done that. I want. Oh, I'd love to say that crocodile poop because why would you? But then why would it be on this list?
Don't put the crocodile dung on your D. That's all I'm saying.
It's not a condom.
Yeah, you got to dip your D in the do. All right, I'm gonna say let's say crocodile poop. I don't know.
Sure, let's say that. Yeah. Is it crocodile poop? It is not.
Damn it! What is wrong with people?
Exactly.
You know where that goes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see the guy being okay with it, but like, no.
Yeah. That's horrible. I wouldn't. Oh,
it's horrible.
Gosh, that's horrendous.
I mean, it'll keep, you know, if a form of contraception is abstinence, then that'll pretty much do
that's
it right
good,
there.
That's a good idea. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Your remaining choices are animal intestines, acacia fruit, or beeswax.
Now they've they've used intestines plenty of time. It's a no-brainer, right? So I mean, that's got to be there. Beeswax, that doesn't make, that's gonna cause problems, but it makes sense. You said, what'd you say? Beeswax? Is that what you said?
Yeah, beeswax. Beeswax.
Not chapstick.
Yeah.
I was getting that. I got Burt's Bees chapstick on the head for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the beeswax, because it just,
with the beeswax,
it sounds reasonable.
Okay.
Beeswax is absolutely correct. Oh. Yeah, beeswax was never used as a contraceptive, but animal intestines, acacia fruit, and crocodile poop are just three of the hundreds of things
that men have put on their penis to have sex.
By the way, it's
all of which can be found in the Italian film Moana Goes to.
Yeah. By the way, Brian's reference to the fish and the condoms thing, that is a 2005 clip, which now I'll play now. Let's know this.
Back in my day, I didn't use condoms. We used an old fish.
Yeah. That's from that. That was an ELR thing, and that was when I had a shit mic. Garbage mic. And
garbage mic.
And you could tell. All right. Moving on. Sorry.
All right.
Who turned? My turn.
Let's see. Brian starts
Brian's
this
turn.
One.
Yeah. He stole.
Hey, Brian, if you drop dead on a cruise, the next thing that happens is, A, you'll get your own cabin free of charge. B, they'll leave you behind at the first stop they make. C, you'll get sent to the morgue because every ship has one. Or D, they'll lock you in your cabin until the cruise is over.
Oh, jeez. What if it's a 7 to 14 day cruise, man?
Yeah. So I'm going through the choices really quick here. Just
sure.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to lock in your own cabin because you might be traveling with somebody. That'd be bad. They probably don't have a morgue. Maybe they do. I watched The Love Boat. I don't remember there being a morgue. I don't remember Gopher going down and storing the bodies or anything, but maybe.
I've got a real hot date with Charo. Can we use the morgue?
Right. It makes the most sense that you would get your own, didn't you say, like your own cabin, like specifically designated? Yeah, free of charge. They can't drop your body off just anywhere. They can't just go, okay, we're...
Ship it back.
Yeah, we're in Barbados. Here you go. Leaving it here. So I'm going to go with they have a specially designed room that's not a morgue. And they don't tell people that when they do actually rent it out. Or, they don't tell people.
Your own cabin free of charge is the one you're saying.
Yeah.
Is it you'll get your own cabin free of charge? It is not. Scott gets the point.
I'm going to say I think it is the morgue. I think they put, I think they have to account for that many people. Like some of those ships will hold 1,000 people. I think they have to do the math and go, well, we got to put them on ice somehow. They can't do it in the galley. Can't do it in the fridge. So let's do it that way. So I think they probably have some space called a morgue or something like it.
All right. Is it the morgue? It is the morgue boat.
Look at that. The morgue boat.
Soon
everybody's
we'll be taking another stiff.
COVID really screwed us.
You know, if Love Boat had ever done a storyline like that, it would have been so counter to the tone of that show.
It really would have been. They would have had to do it as like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing, right? Like
that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, oh no, so and so
is dies. That'd be great.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that fact. All right, I'm going to remember that and tell my friends.
Scott, here's one you'll want to also remember. By the way, you've won the game, but let's play this last question for
take that
poops and giggles.
All right.
According to a study, 13% of Americans surveyed admitting to wearing the same pair of underwear, A, 2 days in a row, B, 3 days in a row, C, longer than a week, or D, almost 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
13% of Americans surveyed said that they wore their underwear.
Well, speaking
how
of
long?
Speaking of when I was this young, I used to get a lot of mileage out of my underwear when I was a kid. I didn't care.
Every day was Monday.
Yeah, I didn't care. I was like, my mom would say,
one day inside and one day inside out, and then you turn it around and then inside out again. 4 days you can get out of the same pair.
Mine would get all holy and like worn because they were my favorite pair. My mom would be like, this is horrible. I buy you underwear. Wear underwear. I'm like, I do. It's just they last longer. And it was a sad time in my young adolescence. So if I was to guess what people would admit, three. That's what I'm saying. 3 days
in a row?
Yeah.
13%.
Is the answer 3 days in a row? It is not. Brian, you get a point.
Damn it.
Your remaining choices are 2 days in a row, longer than a week, or almost 2 weeks.
I'm going to say longer than a week. I don't think anyone can go 2 weeks. Life changes in 2 weeks, right?
Life does change. Life finds a way.
Yeah. Right. Life finds a way, especially if you have that in your underoos.
In your pants. That's right. Yeah. You'll grow life down there if you wear them for a week.
You will. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Is the answer longer than a week? It is.
Oh, wow. Nicely done.
Congratulations. That is the correct answer. You got the point anyway. The final score, Scott 3, Brian 2, which means that Matt Quanbro of England, you're getting Guts and Glory and Ring of Pain. But Nick Milton, you're not going away empty-handed because you didn't show up, so you're not going away.
Oh, no, that's I was going to say double negative doesn't work, but it actually does in this case. He's not here.
It does.
Yeah.
You're not going away empty-handed. You're getting a copy of Garage Bad Trip.
And nice.
I'll be emailing and those to you today.
Yeah, yeah.
If you wear your underwear for longer than a week, you'll have a ring of pain.
That's right.
That's right.
You're not wrong. Hey, here's the fun thing that I got to tell you guys about. Brian and I today launch a brand new podcast. As we gently and lovingly put Boop on the hiatus back burner, we're just going to set it there because we don't have
gently.
We don't have 8 days a week. All right, everybody, just calm yourselves down. We got to do what we want to do when we can do it. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to start this retro gaming focused show called Play Retro, which you can get right now. You can early subscribe to it on whatever player, whatever service you use. It's all up there at frogpants.com/playretro. And today, we're talking about Joust, because Joust is one of the greatest games of all time.
Of course you'd start with Joust.
Yes,
of course.
Of course. And
how
listen,
would you not start at Joust?
It isn't just going to be us going, hey, Joust is cool. I agree. See you next week. It's not that. All right? It's in-depth
you
stuff.
You might be surprised how I feel about Joust.
Yeah, I might be. Sounds like me. I think that's the joke. So, you're going to want to get in there because we're going to go deep on this stuff. Who made it? Why'd they make it? How'd the sequel do? Pretty bad in this case. The weird stories you've never heard around these games. A bunch of audio, a bunch of extra stuff. If you like that stuff, if you're into video game preservation, that whole world, and then also how we play them in the modern sense, because you can play Joust today in lots of ways. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
And more. So check it out. That's today at 3:30 Mountain Time, live at frogpants.tv. But if you want the podcast, it's all over on the main website, frogpants.com/playretro. That's Play Retro. Brian, anything else you want to add?
Why would I can't think of anything else. I'm just like so stoked about Play Retro. Why would I can't even nothing else right now. Just
okay.
Blinders. Boom. Right.
Change your underwear right before it. We get, do the show. Change your underwear.
No, you.
Okay, he's gone. I got to say no you last.
You did perfect. You timed that so perfectly. Matt and Nick now have emails with their game codes in them.
Oh, my Lord. You did all that then? That's fantastic.
All that then. Boom. Diggity dog.
That is efficient.
That's right.
In other words, that are synonymous with efficient. Well done. All right. It's throwing it away already and everything. I love that. This New Year's, Brian's got New Year's resolutions.
That's right. That's right.
It's going to happen. By the way, listen to the at the very end of the show, I'm going to give away. I found one old shot glass and one old TMS challenge coin from our TMS Vegas 2018 meetup. I'm going to give that away today, or at least start a contest to give it away today. So watch for that.
You and I probably should also talk offline. How are we feeling about 2022?
Man,
we'll talk about that offline.
I mean, I know that we'll talk about it offline.
We'll talk offline.
April's far enough away where I'm still like
it is.
I want to do this.
Yeah.
But the world needs to get their shite together.
Yes.
All right. Exactly. What are we doing here? Let's do this. Let's do a quick news story. We'll do one. Yeah. We'll do one. Why not? Here you go, people. Intro so long, we have no time left. Just kidding. Hey, it's the news, and it's brought to you by
patron Sean White. Oh, the snowboarder?
Yeah.
He wants you to know the following. Quote, I stream a variety of games 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at 9:15 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/Cyranex. That's S-E-A-R-A-N-E-X. Viewers can even choose an avatar that can be seen during the stream. You can find me on Twitter at Cyranex as well. One more time, that's S-E-A-R-A-N-E-X.
Your one big story of the day. Cats cause more than 100 house fires in the past 3 years in South Korea.
Those effing cats.
Those cats. Pet owners in South Korea have been warned to stay on their guard after more than 100 fires were started by freaking cats over the last 3 years, according to fire officials in the capital of Seoul. A statement Thursday from Seoul Metropolitan Fire and Disaster Department said cats caused a total of 107 house fires between January 2019 and November of this year. The cats are believed to have started fires by switching on electrical stoves, and the department said cats can turn electric stoves on by jumping on touch-sensitive buttons. Like our oven has that now, like a little, that's how you start it. You just touch it.
Yeah, ours does too. Yeah, a little the inductive thing, though. So unless the cat's made out of metal, she ain't starting a fire.
That's right. It says once overheated, the appliances catch fire. Our oven, though, if it went to force 25 and then just sat there, it would eventually just go off.
Yeah, our oven operates on a dial. Like, there's no way the cat's turning the dial. So that one's okay.
Yeah,
the stove is all touch.
Sure, sure. Cat-related fires are continuing to occur recently, says Cheng Goi-chol, an official in the department. We advise households with pets to pay extra attention, as fires could spread widely when no one is at home. Department advised cat owners to remove flammable objects like paper towels from the stove. It suggests that using an electric stove with an automatic lock function to prevent the risk of fires is the way to go. According to the department, pet-related house fires are on the rise. So that was our public helpful news story to help all the Koreans who listen to our show who didn't hear about this in any other way to take care of yourselves and kill all your cats. That's the answer. Kill the cats. Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that. Don't kill the cats.
Oh, my God.
Let the cats live.
It really got dark quick.
It did.
Wow.
Well, let's get a little darker even. Let's take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here talking about comics and whatnot. So stick around for that. Yeah. We got a great new mashup today. All sorts of fun Monday stuff. Before that, a song.
Sure. In just under 3 weeks, the band Goodnight Texas will release their new studio album, How Long Will It Take Them to Die? This is a brand new LP from a band that's not in Texas, even though they're called Goodnight Texas. They're actually bi-coastal. One of them is in San Francisco, the other one is in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, but they get together, record, and perform. If the name sounds familiar, these guys also contributed a song to the Metallica tribute album called the Metallica Blacklist.
Oh, I love that.
Came out. Yeah. It's such a great cover album. They did a version of Wolf and Man that came out last year on that album.
Nice.
This is the track Borrowed Time. It's from their previous, it's from a 2021 release, so not from the new album, but this will give you an idea of their style. Very Mumford & Sons, kind of folky. Here is Goodnight, Texas.
1, 2, 3. Made it down to Earth a couple hours ago. Man, I don't know what they've done with the place. Yeah, they got gravity, but I like it better in space. Made it into town a couple minutes ago. You know where, but you wanna know. Might not stay to the end.
toy is it?
Mine.
Who played with it last?
I did.
Who lost it?
I did.
Whose fault is it?
Yours.
Go play with Tinker Toy, you f***ing child.
The soundtrack to your facial Kegel exercises. This is the Morning Stream.
Well, F that up, everybody. Hey, welcome to this part of the show where I ask Brian what that song was again. Brian, what was it?
That song was Borrowed Time by the band Goodnight Texas.
Very nice. Hey, Carter, is that Carter in the chat? Hold on. My daughter's here. I need to...
She is here.
Need to give her some heat. She was part of this tape extraction project, and I want to share one of these with you guys, okay? So this is Carter. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. This is her mumbling. She's just a baby little baby. But there's one of these here. Where is it? Oh, this is where I scare her when she's little. And she used to cry when I do that. So enjoy. My dad.
Come on. Sounds about right. Yeah.
It's the father's prerogative. You're supposed to be a dork and scare your kids sometimes. And it's all
I love that you recorded yourself scaring and making Carter cry and kept that tape.
Like, hell yeah.
This will be good someday in case she needs proof or therapy.
Yeah. I actually, captured it out. Here she is saying ba. That's cute. See, it's kind of cute. Yeah, she was a cute little thing then. She was probably 8 months old then or something. Anyway, she does sound like air getting let out of a balloon. It's that tape, you guys. It's just old.
It's a bad, bad tape.
Old. All right, we're going to call Steven. I believe that is what his mother calls him. It is his...
with an H? Steven?
His given name. And here's this.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Look who it is. It's 2022's Steven Schleicher, all the way from Major Spoilers in Hayes, Kansas, who joins us on Mondays and talks comics and other cool stuff all the time. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Brian.
Hey,
hello.
Can I ask you guys collectively here, did we like the new James Bond? Have we all seen it? Or have we?
Yeah.
Okay. I have seen it.
You have. Did you like it? Okay.
I enjoyed it. I don't think it was the best James Bond film ever, but I think for the Craig run, I thought it was a perfect conclusion to the Craig run.
It was pretty good. I liked it well enough, although I think Casino Royale and Skyfall are probably still my favorites.
Yeah.
My oldest son and I sat down and watched all the James Bond films. Mm-hmm. He really enjoyed
all of them.
Well, no. I'm sorry. All the Craig
films.
All the Craig films.
Sure.
He really, really enjoyed the first one.
Mm-hmm.
He thought Skyfall was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this last one, he was just like, I didn't really care for it.
This new one, you mean?
There were a few things I really liked about No Time to Die that they've never done in a James Bond film before. And I won't say, obviously some of the big spoilery things. But one of the things that surprised me was them using a musical cue, a song from an earlier James Bond film that wasn't part of the current actor's run. They used a little bit of We Have All the Time in the World from Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit.
Which is a cool pull. Like, oh, wow, that's a great little...
And I somehow avoided listening or hearing the Billie Eilish song the entire time it was available to hear. Mm-hmm. And so this is my first hearing of it. I liked it. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good James Bond thing.
It came out like 18 months before the actual film. And so everybody had time to forget about it. And
I guess so.
There's kind of a bit of a spoiler. Dynamite Entertainment has their own James Bond comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, because they held that final James Bond movie back for so long, there's actually a character who appears in the movie with a certain three-digit number identifier who actually was in the comics before they showed her off in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know where they go from here. It's an interesting way of ending that whole series for him, but it had some problems. It was a little overlong. I think it had some of the best stunts in the history of the series. Like, they were amazing stunts, some of them.
And Ana de Armas, for me, can do no wrong.
she the one shooting up the place in the middle?
Joke? Yes. Yeah. The Bond girl, the hilarious Bond girl shoot 'em up scene.
She's great.
She is.
She's always good and everything. But
she is. Knives Out. She's going to be playing Marilyn Monroe in a new biopic that's coming to Netflix, I believe.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, she's great in Blade Runner 2049.
She is.
Blade Runner. Have you heard of it? Have you heard of that movie? It's very good. Oh, wait. Our thing doesn't say Blade Runner. It just says Dune and Mad Max. All right. Sorry.
Well, now that you've already said Dune.
Exactly. So, Steve, we're going to do something a little different with you today. As usual, you know, the kind of Christmas through New Year's era is pretty low on brand new news. I mean, CES hasn't even started yet. Like, there's just not a lot going on.
So many people are, I'm sure Tom will talk about this, but there's so many people dumping out of CES again. So
yeah, it's crazy. I'm sure we'll get into that more on Wednesday, but one of the things that happens a lot is we get on here and we talk about a comic book that we really like, mm-hmm. or we found one on Comixology, or check out Infinite. They have the whole run of blah, 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 whatever. And it sometimes occurs to me that there's some listeners who are like, well, how do I even get into them? Like, I've gone my whole life without not reading comics. They're now more accessible than ever. What should I do? I actually get this question on Twitter all the time. Like, which app should I get? How much should I get? All the apps. Who do I start with? If I've never read a Batman comic, who's the best run to start with? That sort of thing. So you're the genius. You come in here and you tell us, how do I get into comics in 2022? Go.
It's a complicated question. So the main reason why I say it's a complicated question is because everybody's taste is going to be different, right? So when I may like Batman and I may say, oh, you got to read this Batman, this Batman, and this Batman. And you may be like, but I don't really like Batman. I'm more of a Captain America fan, something like that. So it really kind of depends on your particular taste. As far as getting into a lot of mainstream comics, there's a couple of ways to do it. Number one, last week I went over some of the what I considered some of the best comics of 2021. That may be a great place to start because most of those are, you know, closed systems, meaning that they haven't been running since 1938. Mm-hmm. And so those are very easy to jump into, six issues and it's done and you're out. So something like that might be a great way to do it. Another one is to look at, you know, let's just say that you are into, I don't know, pick a favorite comic book franchise there, Brian.
Well, for me, the Uncanny X-Men.
I was just going to say Uncanny X-Men.
That's so uncanny of you that you were going to uncannily say it.
Uncanny.
Yeah.
So one of the problems with Uncanny X-Men, of course, is that there are, or any X-Men title, is that there are so many characters and it's very hard to get into it.
And timelines and everything.
Yeah. Exactly. So one thing that you can do is look for Greatest X-Men. Just do a search for Greatest X-Men Stories of All Time. And you'll find things like
The
Dark Phoenix Saga, or what's the one where they go to the future and everyone's dead? Days of Future Past. You can go and you can find those pretty easily. And they're kind of self-contained enough to where you can go in and read it. Although if you read The Dark Phoenix Saga, there's a whole thing with the what's the club that is totally
Hellfire. Yeah,
the Hellfire club. Mm-hmm. That is not going to make any sense to you because a lot of that storyline happened before the Dark Phoenix Saga collection.
Right.
So there are those. You can go and find the greatest stories of these characters, and you can go in and jump into those. Of course, they have trade paperback collections that collect storylines, complete storylines, and that's another way that you can get into it. One of the things that I would suggest to people, especially if you're wanting to just say, man, I think I'll just start reading Amazing Spider-Man, which right now is going through a really interesting storyline with everything that's going in there. A lot of the Marvel comics, and this is why I praise Marvel a lot for some of the great things that they do, just jump in. Sometimes you just have to jump into a storyline and just start reading. And one of the nice things that Marvel does is right inside the front cover, they have a thing that says, previously in Amazing Spider-Man or Uncanny X-Men or Rob Liefeld's Deadpool, you know, they have like a paragraph or two or sometimes three that says, here's everything you need to know as you're going into this story.
Wow.
And then from there, you can kind of figure out, oh, okay, now this means this and this means that. And if I continue to read, a lot more of this stuff will be put together. So Marvel does a great job of of that, trying to be new reader friendly with the previously in.
You know, you saying that totally takes me back to those old, the title page, the splash pages of comics where they would do that all the time, right? Like, number one, you'd get a 2-sentence origin story, bitten by a radioactive spider, Peter Parker, blah, 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 blah. But then sometimes on the splash page, you'd get a little recap of the story so far for the current story arc.
Yeah. And they do that. It's in the credits in the, you know, when they have the title page and they have all the credits in there. Yeah. They also have a paragraph or two that just says previously in. And if you have been out of a series for a while, if you're trying to get into a series for a while, Marvel does a great job of that. Some of the other publishers have attempted to do some of that, but they don't do it as well as Marvel, in my opinion. So that's one thing that I give Marvel a lot of credit for, and which makes it for someone like me who is not a huge Marvel fan to jump in and just pick up a comic and go, oh, what's going on here in Guardians of the Galaxy? Oh, well, this is interesting. And then just follow along with that.
It's hard to sum stuff up sometimes because those stories can get so convoluted, but you're right. They do a pretty good job of doing that.
Yeah. And that was something, I don't know how recently Marvel has been doing that. I know they've been doing it since, you know, at least the last 10 or 15 years, but way back in the days when, you know, you had, what is it? Mojo World or whatever that line was, they didn't have any of that in the comics. And that's when I decided to try to get into X-Men the first time. And I was like, holy crap, I don't understand anything that's going on. And I exited X-Men just as quickly. So, you know, another place to kind of get into comics is Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day happens, in the last couple of years, it's been kind of on and off. But it returns in May, first Saturday in May in 2022. And that's a great way to get a sampling of a bunch of different comics to see what the publishers are banking on as being some of the big titles or the big events that they have coming forth in the next 6 to 8 months. And so that might be a great introduction to just seeing what kind of things strike your fancy. Sure. And pretty much all of the gold publishers, so that's Archie, Dark Horse, DC, Marvel, IDW, and Image Comics, have free comics that are like totally free for you. And then a lot of the other publishers, the smaller publishers like Dynamite and the others, also will have some kind of offering for you to pick up for Free Comic Book Day. So that's something that you can go and check out as well.
That's awesome. By the way, I have an answer to my Batman question before
which,
I forget.
Which is what?
When people say, I mean, I love Batman comics. I think it's the best stuff there is. Mm-hmm. And there's so many places to go and start. And like, there's a million places you can go. It's a lot like trying to find Spider-Man and get in, you know, when you want to get in. But I want to just give a shout out to Sean Murphy's White Knight series. Mm-hmm. It does require a little bit of foreknowledge of like, well, I at least need to know who the Joker is and things like that. So it kind of assumes you're at least familiar with the universe Batman inhabits. But man, that is some of my favorite stuff in the world. And Sean Murphy does both the art and the story for those books. Uh-huh. And he's fantastic. The current run, I guess, is Curse of the White Knight, which I am not caught up on. But the original White Knight, Batman White Knight series is some of the best stuff you'll ever see. And that guy puts a collar on Batman, and that should not work. Mm-hmm. That should look like shit. Garbage. Sorry. That should look bad.
don't kink shame this guy.
But in the comic, it looks so cool. He somehow makes collared up Batman look awesome. And I think there's even a brief moment in the latest trailer of the new Batman movie where he's rocking the collar. And I'm excited to see if that works on film.
Oh, but, interesting.
Yeah. I would say if you've seen the second Christopher Nolan, the Joker, Christopher Nolan Batman movie, then White Knight is something that will help you get into that very easily.
Oh, yeah. Super, super easy. All right. Sorry. Continue on your track here. I just wanted to point that one out.
So the other thing is, don't be afraid to do some research. Wikipedia is a great resource to just kind of go in and get a big overview of characters and storylines. And yeah, it may require you to do a little bit of work, but you can just go in and casually browse the history of, you know, whatever the title is. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I feel confident enough that I can go in and pick up a comic and start reading it. Or vice versa, read the comic book. And when you get to a part where you're like, I have no idea what's going on here, go to Wikipedia and you're going to find that information.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, who is Taskmaster? I don't know. Let's go and find out.
Yeah, Wikipedia is awesome for that. Like, I'm doing that now. I'm looking up whatever you want. They'll have this huge breakdown of even the most obscure comics. So if you're like, man, I need to know what Jean Grey did before all this Phoenix business, I promise you it's there. You're going to get the synopsis like you never read before in your life, and you'll catch up completely. It's like TV and movies and stuff, too. But
yep. And then, yeah. Of course, you've got other websites like Major Spoilers. I'll throw in my own little plug here. We have been, for the last year, we've been running this series, and I believe it's continuing into 2022, called So You Want to Read Comics. And every week, Jonathan comes up with, here's a theme, you know, space. And then he'll say, here's a couple of comic books that are space themed that you should go and check out and go try out. And so he's got that we've been running up there for a couple of, I want to say maybe 2 years now. So look, you can go and look forward to that. It comes out on Tuesdays at majorspoilers.com.
Cool. Yeah. And that's the other thing. If you want to go, if you want like a kind of a daily dose of what's happening in comics or just want to get in the mood for it, majorspoilers.com is a place to do that, man.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah, every time I go there, it's like, oh, look at this place. This is like walking into my comic store, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I'll say we do try to keep it mostly comic books, although sometimes television and films will pop in there as well. And so if you go to some of the other sites, I'm not saying the other sites are bad because many of them are very good, but they kind of are scattered in their pop culture coverage, trying to do a little bit of everything as opposed to just focusing on comic books.
Sure. So. Hey, do you have any old tapes of you as a kid saying stuff?
I used to just, you know, when I got a recorder, I would record anything and everything. So I'm sure my mom somewhere has cassette tapes of me doing that stuff, but nothing blackmailable like you have on your kids.
Like I have on my kids. well, I was curious because it just feels like maybe it was the standard procedure for guys of our age. We're kids. We got tape recorders.
Oh, yeah.
We go nuts. Yeah.
Let me tell you, back in the day, I used to play trumpet in band when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Hated practicing. I was good, but I hated practicing. So one time I took one of my practice sessions, recorded it on my tape recorder. And then when mom would be like, go upstairs and practice your trumpet, I would go upstairs, pop the cassette in, crank it all the way up as loud as it would go.
Yeah.
And to everyone else in the house, it sounded like I was practicing. And that worked for about... 2 or 3 weeks until one day my dad walked in and here I am reading, you know, a comic book or something. And the tape player is playing my trumpet practice.
That's amazing.
That was the end of that.
That's amazing, though. I love it. That's a Ferris Bueller thing you're pulling off there. That's great.
Yeah. This would have been in 80. What had this been in? 82, 83, somewhere.
83, yeah.
Probably 80. Maybe 81.
So you're probably like 10. 11, maybe.
Yeah, 11, 12. Yeah, 11, 12, somewhere around there in middle school.
It was great. Stephen, as always, a pleasure to do this. Some exciting stuff happening throughout the year with various people around your network, including, let's just say, some guest spots coming up over there.
Oh, yeah. This week, everybody's going to want to tune in for the return of Finally Friday over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/majorspoilers. For the very first episode, that's this Friday, 4:30 p.m. Central Time, so do the math wherever you live. I'm going to talk about gamifying your life, and I really don't know anything about that. So I'm going to bring in Coverville's own Brian Ibbett.
Oh, I know that guy.
What?
To come in and talk all about gamification and how you can use it to, you know, accomplish goals to improve your life, those kinds of things. So it should be a really cool conversation because I have so many questions. And we're also going to be taking questions from the audience, too. So if you've got questions about how to gamify your life, Brian's going to come in this Friday, 4:30 p.m. Central Time over on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/majorspoilers. And we're going to talk about that.
Very, very cool. I look forward to that. Steven Schleicher, a.k.a. The man who brings us all things Major Spoilers. Majorspoilers.com is the place. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, it's a new year. Should we do anything about our water intake this year?
Yes. Please stay hydrated.
Bye now. Excellent. Everything nice. Good? You had to make a run there? Everything all right?
Had to run pee. And then the dog said, I could do that too. I could pee too.
Yeah. And they got to go outside for that pee.
And they're slower. Well, Daisy. It's just Daisy. One dog now. She's slow because she's old.
Yeah, she is old. She's how old now? How many years?
She is on the cusp of 14.
Oh my gosh. That's an old dog. Wow.
She's an old pup.
All right.
And guess what? I can still teach her new tricks. I just can't teach her how to not pee when she sees me pee.
So now, are you one of those people that as she gets on, are you going to bring a crossover dog in to like, no more dogs?
That was what we did. Daisy was our crossover. No, I take that back. Inara was our crossover cat because
we knew Ruby was getting old and not gonna live forever, and so we brought Inara in as a companion for Daisy, and Inara turned into a companion for me. Although, you know what, she loves Daisy, and when there's lightning or something that's upsetting Daisy, Inara will just rub back and forth, like stand up and do that cat thing where it's like,
aww, that's cute,
rub back and forth on her. It is adorable. Yeah. And they play together and stuff like that. So I now have to worry about Inara, but Team and I decided, no, we want to do some traveling. So right now a dog is a secondary thing.
Gotcha. Now that makes sense. If you're going to be going all over the place, don't have a dog.
Yeah, yeah. I love dogs, though. It's going to be so hard to not have a dog. But
yeah, I can't even imagine it. But mm-hmm. I mean, there'll probably come a day where I'm feeling the same.
Yeah.
All right. There goes Steven. Here comes Mashup. Yeah, that's right. TMS Mashups. Woo. Jamie put it together. It's the first Mashup of 2022. This one is called Peter's Parker. I don't know what that's about, but we're going to play it. We're gonna find out.
This is a spoiler, people.
I can't remember what we said. Anyway, here it is. Enjoy. Is it a spoiler? It's not a spoiler, is it?
No, okay. No. It's just any Spider-Man reference now. The joke is.
Oh, because that guy made me paranoid. You guys don't know about it, but I had a run-in that bummed me out because I actually went back and listened to the whole thing. What a waste of time. Because it didn't do anything that he said.
And we didn't spoil anything.
And then he finally admits it in the follow-up email. I sent you those emails, right?
You did. Yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't that you spoiled anything, is that you could have, and that's why I had to quit.
Yeah. Like, all right, well, great.
We would have lost you anyway, and I'm sorry to see you go.
You have a gun, and you were going to murder someone. Well, I didn't murder anyone, but you had one, so you're probably going to murder them. All right. Anyway, here it is. It's the Monday mashup you've all been waiting for. Peter's Parker. Just an early get you wet kind of, wet your whistle.
I'm wet. Thank
okay.
you.
Great.
How tiny or how big is that?
She tells me I have to get it up at least an inch and a half to 2 inches.
So interesting.
So I put my finger where that is. Okay.
Yeah.
So to make sure I've got that much length on it.
I just wanted to tell you, quit shitting in my bush.
Hey, Jude.
I'm leaving.
I love Sean Moore. Gonna treat him like he's related.
I can tell you when what's his name stopped being my Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire. You want to know when?
When he came out dancing in Venom 3, Spider-Man 3?
No, that should have been it. But what it really was some article in some magazine where he showed his wiener. It was his full wiener.
Would you like your food to be made out of maggots and crickets?
Yeah, they don't know.
No, those are bugs. Ruck you, Raggy. Ruck off. I'm grieving. You people are crazy. What's in those Scooby snacks?
Shizupu is a cross between Shia, Zu, and Toy.
Shih Tzu.
Oh, he's talking about the dog still. I thought we were finding out this guy's name of origin or something.
No.
Okay. Well, forget it.
No, CVS it's just is the definitely. Cocky Shizupu without the cock.
Is it too early for me to get a fish sandwich, boys?
They're kind of moist.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little, not wet, but like mushy. All right.
Yeah, I think they are macaques.
Macaque. Macaque?
Macaques.
What you got there, buddy? Ah, it's nothing but me cock.
Like that?
Well, you changed it to me cock, which...
Panic on the streets of Liverpool. Catch the monkey, catch the monkey, catch the monkey.
Oh, was it that movie with DiCaprio and them?
Not Aviator.
No, it was definitely not
Gatsby?
That. Maybe. I don't know, but Tobey Maguire has his wiener out in it, and I don't like it. It was something about him where you had to read.
I really liked him as an actor until I saw his penis. I would go see all of his movies.
Yeah.
Until I saw his penis.
Yep. That's how it is. He had his Peter Parker out. That is correct. So actually, I have a little follow up on this. Chat room just saw this. I'll put it in our Discord. I'll probably delete it because some guest is going to wonder what the hell we're doing. But that's the picture. Now I censored the units. Okay. That's why this is okay for Twitch. But anyway, that's Tobey Maguire over there on the far right. This, I don't know who this is in the foreground here, but then that's DiCaprio behind them. And it was some article. It was probably online, which is why I was able to find the image. It probably wasn't a magazine like I thought, but anyway, they're just laying around with their wieners out.
Right.
And I don't know why.
just a weird little bathrobe 101 Dalmatians print
yeah.
Wienerfest.
Oh, was that... That's David party. Blaine? That's David Blaine?
Oh, David Blaine. Yeah, that would be, because that's... he's friends with DiCaprio. Okay. I guess he's friends with both of them, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if they still hang out, but I don't like that.
You know, we always talk about what women do during their slumber parties. This is what guys do during ours. We just we put on sports, and then we put on matching 101 Dalmatians bathrobes and rock out with our...
Yeah,
fake nudes.
Yeah, everyone in the chat, or a bunch of you, are saying it's fake, but I don't know how you know that. It doesn't look Photoshopped to me. But
oh no, it absolutely is fake.
Is it fake?
It actually did get debunked. Yes, so you can like Tobey Maguire again.
I like him again. Now he's all good with me. I can watch.
Yeah, somebody. Where did they put it? Was it in Discord? I'm going to find the. Because they posted the actual photo.
Yeah, I saw that photo, but I didn't see. Oh, you mean the one that they've doctored? You're saying
the one they've doctored? Oh, good lord! Yeah, don't search fake Tobey Maguire nude photo. Don't search that.
Okay,
jeez.
All right. Well, I don't know where I must have been suckered, and this just shows you how strong misinformation can be. Because I think some article suckered me into thinking this was like legit.
Totally did. Yeah. Here you go. Here's the actual photo, Scott. Okay. And
I'm gonna hate this, aren't I?
You are.
All right, I'm waiting. It's coming. Here it is. Oh, So they're just in robes and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I assume they put heads on naked people, not added nakedity to these people. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Right. No. They really just added nakedity to the to Toby and Blaine.
Okay. And then somehow left Leo out of it.
Yeah, like they would have had to Photoshop an arm out of there, and
he has people. He'll have you killed. You have to be careful.
Oh, they're at a sushi bar having those are Oni robes or whatever those are called.
Here, chat. I can put this up here now. So yeah, you guys are right. There you go. I'm going to tell my great grandchildren that. That it was the other way around. This was the original photo. Or no, the other one was the original, and this has been Photoshopped to cover
somebody
them up.
Somebody Photoshopped clothes, more clothes on Tobey Maguire and David Blaine. I love it.
That's good stuff. All right. Big thanks to Jamie for that mashup. That was awesome. A reminder about Retro Play, or Play Retro, rather. That's today. Frogpants.tv. I wrote it backwards in there for some reason. Why did you?
No, I did. I put that in there because I want to just throw a reminder in there.
Retro. There we go. Play Retro. It's frogpants.com/playretro. Get all the details there. We're very excited about it. If you like old games, you're going to love what we do with it. Soundography also happening. What's going on there?
Yeah. A new episode just got posted this morning. Hammond and I go to 1996. Alternative was in full swing. Grunge was happening still. Some late grunge, plus you were getting punk pop or pop punk. Brit pop was huge. Mm-hmm. Lots of great stuff that we talk about on today's episode of Soundography.
Very, very nice. Now, chat room, don't leave, because after we're done here, we sew things up, because you guys are like early responders, right? First responders to the TMS show. I'm going to give away that shot glass and TMS challenge coin that I found while cleaning out my office, and we'll do that after the show. All right. Before title, so stick around. Okay, I think that's it. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and also for those who have supported us on patreon.com/TMS. We'll read some of those names this week. The important part of this I wanted to mention was it's a brand new week and month. That means.
And year.
Yeah, and year. So if you've been just holding back and you're like, man, I don't know about this, maybe in the new year, now's your time. Here's your chance. Click that link, patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS, and that will do it for today's show, except for a song Brian has prepared with his own hands. Brian.
I did. I molded it out of clay. this one goes to Ambassador Domo, Robert Monty, a sad dedication here. Robert says, it's been 5 years since my Annie passed away. It would have been our 21st year wedding anniversary on January 1st. She loved Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads because the phrase qu'est-ce que c'est is pronounced similar to her last name, which was Keskis. In fact, she even got that phrase tattooed on her forearm. Leave song and style choice in your hands. Thanks. And thank you, Ambassador Domo, and sorry to hear about that. That is... that's a rough anniversary and a rough thing to get reminded of every year. And I admire your strength and, you know, I always consider you a good friend since we hung out in Philadelphia years and years and years ago, playing video games at that arcade bar, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Plus his house is a Pokestop, or it's a former church that is a Pokestop. It's really cool.
He's living my dream. I always wanted to live in a former church. An old burnt, renovated church is my dream life. I would love it.
Oh, well. Oh. You'll have to check it out. I think it's Haunted Church, so it's really cool. All right, let's play a cover of Psycho Killer, of course, originally by the Talking Heads. Since she liked that French phrase, qu'est-ce que c'est, so much, let's listen to a French version of the song. It's still sung in English, but it's definitely a French singer. Here is Black Mighty Wax with their cover of Psycho Killer.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
A what?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.